Well, good evening. Are we on? I'm on here. It's green. That means go, right? Okay. Last week we began what is going to end up being a two-week little crash course on spiritual gifts. And so we noted in one of the key passages, and there are three key passages that deal with spiritual gifts, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter is about spiritual gifts. And Paul begins that chapter by saying, now concerning spirituality, the word gifts is in italics, it's added because that's the theme of the chapter. But really, it's what Paul is saying is concerning things spiritual. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. In other words, if you're going to be a spiritual Christian, if you're going to be a godly man or woman, it is essential that we understand the biblical teaching on spiritual gifts, and not just understand the teaching, but to incorporate them into our lives. We're to work them out. And so we considered last week, spent a little bit of time on Ephesians chapter 4. And in that chapter, we noted that we have the risen and ascended Christ giving gifted men to the church. As compared to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, where it's the Holy Spirit giving spiritual gifts to individual believers to be exercised in the context of a local church for the building up and the edification of the body. So, fundamental difference between the Ephesians 4 passage and the 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 passage. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, it's the Holy Spirit giving individual believers gifts as he wills for the good of the local assembly. Whereas in Ephesians 4, it's the risen, ascended Christ giving gifted men to the church to be a blessing to the universal church. Okay, and we noted that the gifts spoken of there, the gifted men spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4, are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we spent a little bit of time talking about the fact that the apostles and prophets, we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 20, that they laid the foundation of the church. But once the foundation was laid, the ministry of the apostles continues, but technically speaking, the apostles and prophets are no longer with us. One of the requirements for an apostle, we noted, was that you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So obviously they've all died off. And the prophets, well, the prophets and the apostles, actually, once Christ went back to heaven, received divine revelation from Christ, which was transmitted some orally and some in writing. But ultimately, the time came when the Word of God was completed. There was no more need for apostles and prophets to lay the foundation. It was now the once for all delivered to the saints' faith. So that's one of the key things about Ephesians chapter 4. Gifts given by Christ to the universal church. And so you have apostles and prophets, which have passed off the scene in the strict definition of apostles and prophets. And then you had evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which still are operational today. And I mentioned, you know, most of the assemblies in this part of the North Carolina and beyond were established by three men, two of them Canadians. One was an evangelist, one was a pastor, a shepherd, and one was a teacher. And they laid the foundation for the assemblies in this part of the world. So God is still using evangelists, pastors, and teachers to build the local church and establish churches. We also, just sort of by way of a quick review, we talked a little bit about the difference between a talent and a spiritual gift. And we noted that a talent is something that you receive at birth. It has to do with your first birth, okay? It's an extraordinary ability to do a particular thing in sort of almost a supernatural way. And there are gifted individuals that get gifts at birth that end up being saved, and then there's some that don't. So you can, talents are given to believers and non-believers alike, whereas spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to believers at the second birth. And we noted there's at least about four, maybe five verses that make it abundantly clear that spiritual gifts are given to every believer. So that's the fundamental teaching of Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I want to look at Romans. The Romans passage is just five verses, and I just want to, and really, he deals with what he has to say in Romans chapter 12 is also dealt with in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I just want to read this because it, at least if nothing else, it gets us thinking about what some of these gifts are. So we read there in Romans 12 and verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same gift, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Okay? Many members, but one body. And that's what we're going to read over and over and over. "Having then," verse 6, "gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules," that would be the gift of administration, same gift, different description, "with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness." So that's what Paul has to say in this particular chapter about spiritual gifts. He develops it further when we come to 1 Corinthians. Now, we're going to spend a little more time in this because this is one of the key passages. But I sort of hurriedly, at the end of last Wednesday night, touched on another really important passage, and it's in 1 Peter, and it's chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, it's two verses, verses 10 and 11. I want to touch on those again because they're really important. So verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift," okay? Every man, notice, received the gift, different gifts, but every man gets one. And the man is generic, men and women alike. "Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So spiritual gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit, and we are stewards of them. And a steward is someone who has to give an account of the stewardship. And that's going to hold true for us as well. God has given each of us a spiritual gift, and one day we're going to have an answer for what we've done with that gift. So here we come to the key verse, verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And we noted rather hurriedly right at the close of the last Wednesday night that here in verse 11, spiritual gifts are divided into basically two broad categories. There are speaking gifts, and serving gifts. And that's what we see. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And so we recognize the seriousness with which teachers would open the Word of God. It's a serious thing. And this is why James says, be not many teachers. But anyway, so if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, recognizing that this is not the vain janglings of a man. This is the God of the universe speaking to our hearts through His Word, His written Word. So there's speaking gifts, and then there's ministry gifts or serving gifts. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So, speaking gifts and serving gifts, and those that serve, and you can go right down the list, and we're going to look at some more of the gifts in just a minute. You can go right down the list and look at every single gift, and you'll see that it will fall into one of those two categories, either a speaking gift or a serving gift. If it's a speaking gift, we're exhorted to speak as it were the oracles of God. Recognize that we are representing God, and it's important that we speak the truth. That's what it says in John 10 about John the Baptist. It says he spoke the truth about Jesus, and that's what's incumbent upon anybody that stands in a pulpit, to speak the truth about the Lord Jesus. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. If we serve, recognize that the exercise of our spiritual gift is all by the grace of God, and we depend upon Him. And there's also, we have no reason at all to boast. And Paul makes that point in 2 Corinthians. Where he talks about hang on here. Let me get the right chapter here. It's chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. For who maketh thee to differ from another, or what hast thou that thou dost not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So there's no room for boasting in whatever spiritual gift God has given us. We had nothing to do with it. It's all the grace of the Lord Jesus. It's the divine sovereignty of the Spirit that administers the gift, that hands out the gifts as He sees fit, equipping each of us to function within the local assembly. So we also see from verse 11 that not only do the gifts fall under the categories of speaking gifts and serving gifts, but we see the purpose of the gifts, that in all things that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So again, God has given each of us a spiritual gift to be exercised for the building up of the local assembly. I think about what I heard on a tape one time. I heard Tyrannus Wilson was describing the passion of his life was to build, to bind, and to beautify the local church. And that's what he invested his life doing, to build, to bind, and to beautify the local church. And it's all to the glory of God. And so now let's go back to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Breaking in at verse 4, we noted that there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. That's verse 4. Verse 5, different ministries or administrations. Different ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, different operations or different results, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. And so we noted all three members of the Trinity are involved in the exercise of spiritual gift. But the manifestation, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And that, again, that's the point. Our gifts are to be exercised to the benefit of everybody else. That's the whole idea of spiritual gifts, to build up the body. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Notice, every man as he will. So it's the Holy Spirit that assigns the spiritual gifts according to his divine will. One Spirit, a lot of different gifts. And then he goes into this, and this is so important, and it's really a beautiful picture of how the local assembly is similar in the way it functions to the way a local church is designed to function. And he uses the human body as a metaphor. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So we have one body, but it's got a lot of different members, a lot of moving parts, we might say. And yet it's just one body. And the parts are really different one from another. A lot of our parts have nothing to do with other parts in the same body, but it's just one body. And that's the point he's making. For by one Spirit, verse 13, are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, okay? Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. There again, lots of different parts to make up the body, but one Spirit that assigns each part its own function. And then he uses the analogy back to the human body. It says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Is the foot not of the body just because it's not a hand? Well, that's absurd, and that's his point. You know, it's absurd to think that, well, I'm not the hand, so I must not be part of the body. No, the foot is an essential part of the body, okay? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course it is. If the ear says, because I'm not the eye, I must not be part of the body. No. The ear is an essential part of the body. You know, without our ears, you know, it'd be really quiet, wouldn't it? And so he's just using the analogy of the human body to point out how essential every part is. Just as a human body needs every part doing their job to function properly, so it is within the local assembly, the local body made up of different members with different gifts, all need to be working together, exercising their spiritual gift to the building up of the local assembly. It's like the human body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Again, and when we read a verse like that, it should cause us to remember and be thankful for the fact that it's the Holy Spirit, as we read in verse 11, that divides to every man severally as he will. In other words, we had nothing to do choosing our spiritual gift. It was the Holy Spirit that made the choice for us. And we're to discern what that gift is and put that gift to use. And if we were given the choice, if God says, all right, here's the list, you know, pray over this, think about it, and pick a gift, and we'll let you have that gift. That's not how it works. That's not at all how it works. We had nothing to do. That's why there's no room for boasting. And it's a gift. By definition, you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift. And so this is the whole thing. we're not given the choice. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the gift. So, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Notice again, every one of them, everybody is included. God set the members, the body parts, in the body as it hath pleased him, according to his sovereign will. If they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, if everybody decided, I think I'd like to be an ear, it wouldn't be much of a body, would it? No, every body part is necessary. But now, are they many members and yet one body? Again, it's the same thought sort of expressed over and over in different different phrases. I like verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now I want to dwell on that verse for just a moment, because those closing words of verse 21 are really wonderful. They can be viewed on three different levels. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So let's think about it in the human realm for a second, the human body. Who in their right mind would cut their own feet off? Well, nobody. I mean, it's absurd. Of course not. Nobody is going to cut their own feet off. It just makes no sense. So that's in the human realm. Well, the analogy is this. You can't have a local assembly where you say, you know, to the person who has the gift of helps, you know, we just don't need you helping anymore. You can just go off somewhere else. You're not needed here. Or the gift of mercy, or the gift of teaching, or the gift of administration. We don't need organization here. We're just going to let things, you know, we'll meet at the pond whenever we want to. We don't need a plan. We'll just do this or that. No. Every gift is needed. We need people to rule, to administer. We need people to help. We need people to show mercy. We need people to teach. We need people to exhort. Every gift is needful, okay? So in the human realm, no one ever cuts their feet off. That's crazy. In the spiritual realm, within the confines of the local assembly, you're never going to see a situation where somebody just says, you know, we really don't need your spiritual gift. You just go sit in the corner. Of course not. The body's not going to be functioning as it's intended to function unless everybody does their part. But here's another way, and I hadn't seen this until recent years, and it was just a blessing to me. There's another way we can look at this. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The head's never going to say to the feet, I have no need of you. So what am I getting at here? Who is the head? Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the universal church. He's the head of the local church. And the head will never say to the feet, the lowliest member of the body, I have no need of you. You'll never hear that from the lips of the Lord Jesus. He will never, and I think there's a lot of people, and, you know, they think to themselves, well, you know, poor old me, I can't do anything. I don't have any gift. I can't contribute. I'm just dead weight, you know. I'm just a hindrance. Woe is me, poor old me. I can't be used. No. The head, Christ himself, will never say to the feet, even the lowliest member of the local assembly, I have no need of you. You'll never hear the Lord Jesus say, I don't need your gift. No, he saved you. He gave you a gift. The Holy Spirit gave you a gift of his choosing for the purpose of exercising that gift to the edification of the body. The whole idea is, back to Ephesians 4, here it's gifted men given to the church, but it's for the edification of the body to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. the saints are doing the work of the ministry. And the way that happens is by everybody exercising their spiritual gift. And then in verse 22, it says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Again, don't think I'm feeble, I'm weak, I can't do anything. No, you can. You're necessary. In fact, we're going to get to a verse in a minute. It says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I don't mean your name's on a membership roll. You are a body part within this local body. You are a particular body part that's necessary to the functioning, the healthy functioning of the whole. So even the ones we might consider feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. For our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You know, some of the body parts that are the most essential are out of sight. They're out of sight. And you know, like how long are you going to get along without a liver or a kidney or a heart or a lung? You know, you can't see those organs, but they're pretty doggone essential to the proper functioning of the human body. So, and I really appreciated what Dave Cohen had to say Sunday about Miss Beth and her selfless service along with others in the kitchen and the work that she does. I don't think we really appreciate it, you know, like we should. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. I heard, I guess it was just Sunday morning, I heard that with all the rain we had, it flooded back in here. But when I got here, everything was just fixed and in order. It's like, how does that happen? Are there elves that run around and get it done? No, they're not elves. They're people exercising their spiritual gift to make this assembly go forward. And they do things that are you know, out of the public eye, but they're necessary. I don't know if I've told you the story, but when I was in New Orleans, there was a guy that lived a couple of houses down. He was a Cajun, and he was a fisherman like most of the Cajuns down there, and he spent his whole life doing that, and he wasn't very educated. He wanted to be a greeter, and he stuttered, and he just really wasn't the face of who you might really want to sort of represent your. But the elders recognized his heart to want to serve. His name was Edmund, and so he would be there at the door, and he would stutter and all. He would greet people every day, and that was a good thing. And anyway, so Edmund died rather suddenly. And the next Sunday, everybody showed up at the assembly, and the doors were locked, and the heat hadn't been turned on, and the chairs hadn't been put out, and there were no hymn books, and the emblems were nowhere to be found, and all of a sudden everybody realized how much this man did. He was an uncomely part. He was behind the scenes, and they didn't appreciate him until he suddenly died, and then they all of a sudden realized, you know, it was Panic City. What are we going to do? Now, at last, we recognize how much he was doing. These are important, essential things that need to be done. And that's the point that he's making here. Okay, moving along. That there should be no, this is verse 25, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Okay? When you stump your toe, you know, you hurt all over, okay? Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government or ruling, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way? Okay, I want to bring two things up before we wrap up here in a few minutes. A couple of terms that you will hear in connection with teaching on spiritual gifts. You'll hear the term sign gifts, and you'll hear the term foundational gifts. And again, we mentioned from Ephesians 2:20 that the apostles and the prophets laid the foundation of the church. Once it was laid, there were no more apostles, the ministry of the apostles and prophets continues, but there, technically speaking, were no more apostles and prophets. There are those that forth tell the truth, the revealed word of God, but none that tell the future. It's the sum total revelation that God has given to us is complete. And three times we read that there's a curse upon anybody that adds to or takes away from the word of God. We have the completed word of God. So we don't need the apostles and prophets. They were foundational gifts, okay? The word of God is, you know, is completed. And so you also have sign gifts. And you had that in the days of the early church, the apostles, and even before he went to the cross, that performed various miracles. And the purpose of that was to authenticate both the message and the messenger, okay? Once the word of God was completed, there was, in the words of William MacDonald, the word of God became self-authenticating. So you didn't need foundational gifts any longer. You didn't. In fact, we're told in the next chapter, in chapter 13, that prophecies are going to fail. Tongues shall cease. I mean, he tells us in chapter 13. But he says in the last verse of chapter 12, so that's foundational gifts and sign gifts. And then he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Well, what is that more excellent way? Well, that's the verse that leads into the chapter on love. And he goes on to say, it doesn't matter what your gift is. See, that was the problem that the church in Corinth had. He says, you come behind in no gift. They lacked the fruit of the Spirit, but they had a plenty of gift, but they weren't using it properly, and they were glorifying gifts that were not as useful as others, gifts that were going to pass off the scene in a few years. And they sort of had it backwards. And so he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, so that verse has confused a lot of people, and I think it's best understood, again, by looking at the situation in Corinth at that time. Again, they were all puffed up, and they knew they had a lot of gifts, and some of the gifts that received the most praise and honor of men were gifts that were going to soon pass off the scene. And in fact, I think you get an idea of a ranking, if you will, beginning in verse 28. He said, God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And then he goes on and he lists some other verses, some other gifts, many of which we read about in the very next chapter, are going to come to a screeching halt. Okay? And so in what way would the gifts mentioned as like first and second and third, the speaking gifts, the teaching gifts, in what way are they better? Well, I would suggest that it has to do with their practical value in terms of building up the local church, their value as far as it edifies. In fact, chapter 14 is all about instructions in regards to speaking in tongues. And Paul says, if you're going to speak in tongues, here are the guidelines. Rigid guidelines are set out for those that speak in tongues. And he finally says, you know, I'd rather hear five words in a language I can understand than 10,000 words I can't understand. The point is, there's no edification of the body when nobody understands what you're saying. And so anyway, he says, covet the best gifts, the gifts that have the most value as far as building up the local body. Okay, I want to close with this. So we've considered the fact that all of us have spiritual gifts. We may not know what our gift is, and yet we're told we're to exercise our gift. So how do we figure out what our spiritual gift is? Well, I would say, number one, we start by having a right understanding of the teaching on spiritual gifts. And, you know, that's sort of what motivated me to even talk about this. You know, a healthy church is one that understands the teaching of spiritual gifts, and not just understands it, but practices it, you know, implements it, works at allowing people to exercise their spiritual gift to the building up of the body. So we need to teach it. We need to recognize that we're members of the local body. And also recognize that verse we spent a minute looking at, that the head will never say to the feet, I have no need of thee. Everybody has a part. The Lord Jesus will never say, I really don't need you. I don't need you in this local church. Everybody is needed. And then finally, I would encourage, you know, body life, simple obedience to the teaching of the Word of God. Now, here's how I want to close. And this is really one of the main points. As we think about these various helps, these various gifts, if we stop and think about it, nearly every single spiritual gift that's listed, in one place or another in the New Testament, we are encouraged to emulate these particular gifts. Let me give you some examples. I'm going to go down the list, and there's a point to it, and I'm going to finish with this. All right, take the spiritual gift of helps, okay? Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those that are household of faith. All of us are to be about helping one another. All of us are to do good unto all men. That's a command to all believers. Well, what about exhortation? Is that just for those that have the gift of exhortation? Is that what the Bible teaches? No, Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily. Who is he talking to? You and me. Exhort one another daily. Why it's called today. All right. What about giving? Okay. Is that just for certain people? No. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. All of us are commanded to give, to exhort one another daily, to do good unto all men. What about ruling? What about ruling? 1 Timothy 3:5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And that's in the passage that's talking about qualifications for elders, which the qualifications for elders are things that each one of us should aspire to, whether we're ever going to be an elder or not. These are Christian character virtues, every one of these. So we're to rule our own house. We're to all to be givers. We're to exhort one another daily. We're to help one another, do good unto all men. What about merciful? Tim's taken us through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is for every Christian, okay? What about faith? The just shall live by faith. We read that three times in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament quote, but it's found three times in the New Testament. The just, all of us that are justified, that are saved, should live by faith. What about evangelism? You know, that's one of the gifts, the gift of the evangelist. Yeah, but what does it say, 1 Peter 3:15? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Okay? We're all to be ready to give an account. We're all to be evangelists. We're all to live by faith. We're all to show mercy. We're all to rule our own house well. We're all to be givers. We're all to exhort one another. We're all to do good to one another. And we're all to be teachers. When somebody asks a reason for the hope that's in you, you should be able to teach them the gospel. Because most people don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't understand the central message of the Bible, and that we need to have a way to explain it in a way that makes sense to them. So, as we go about simply seeking to obey these simple verses that I just read, each of which illustrate a different spiritual gift, as we seek to carry them out in our own personal spiritual life, we're going to find that we tend to settle into one particular area or another. And it might be that somebody else notices, you know, you really have the gift of showing mercy. I've just noticed this about you, and you're happy doing it. You're happy, and that's the way we're happy in Christ, is when we're doing what God has gifted us to do. Whatever that gift is, that's where fulfillment comes, by exercising your spiritual gift. So all I'm saying is, as we seek to carry out these commands that represent each one of the spiritual gifts, as we seek to carry that out, we're going to find we tend to migrate towards one or another. And I think that's the way we really discover what our spiritual gift is. Okay, one last thing. I'm going to read a quote. I'm going to finish with this. One last comment as we wrap up these thoughts on spiritual gifts. As important as these gifts are, we need to remember that what calls us to do is always secondary to what God calls us to be. I mean, spiritual gifts are important, and it's important that we exercise them, but what God is really interested in is the heart behind them. What God is really interested in is, you know, who are we alone in the quietness of our own privacy before God? It's not what we do. I mean, what we do is important, but what we are is even more important. So here's a summary statement on spiritual gifts. I'm quoting A.T. Pearson. Everyone has some gift, therefore all should be encouraged. No one has all gifts, therefore all should be humble. All gifts are for the one body, therefore all should be harmonious. All gifts are from the Lord, therefore all should be contented. All gifts are mutually helpful and needful, therefore all should be studiously faithful. All gifts promote the health and strength of the whole body, therefore none can be safely dispensed with. All gifts depend on His fullness for power, therefore all should keep in close touch with Him. Thank you. I hope this has been not just informative. I mean, it is important to understand what the Bible teaches, but I hope this will challenge you to really take this serious. And there's a lot of people in this room, and I'm sure they would be glad to stand here and testify to the satisfaction that comes from engaging and practicing your spiritual gift, whatever that may be. It's good for yourself, it's good for your own soul, but it's absolutely essential for a healthy, functioning local assembly.